Well, let's pray. Come on, today's the day to do it. We'll join together. We'll pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And let's pray for Vladimir Putin. Let's pray for Joe Biden. Let's pray for world leaders. Let's pray for peace in the Ukraine, that this will no longer escalate, but rather it will de-escalate, and that justice can prevail, that God's mercy will prevail. I received an email yesterday from a listener saying, hey, I listened to your show yesterday, Drew. I started praying to Putin's angel, his guardian angel. Maybe we should all do that. I like that. Today's also today marks the birth of St. Jose Maria Escrivá. Father Rocky is a member of Opus Dei and a huge, of course, he always often shares with me about St. Jose. That's why we invoke him here in the chapel at times. And the philosophy there is that we're called to sanctify ourselves, to grow in holiness, to become saints through the vocation that God has given us in life. And I've always loved the theology of St. Jose. I think it's a great one. Let's call upon his intercession today. But St. Jose was one of these great saints who would send his angel to others that he'd go ahead and meet. We had a conversation yesterday. And please go to the archives and check it out. I think it was hour two after the chapel. We spoke about angels, or maybe it was hour three. I can't remember off the top of my head. But it was two, Maggie's telling me. There was this conversation. Can you send your angel to someone else? And I think angels are very active today. I think you should certainly do that. In fact, I saw a report earlier today that Ukrainians are claiming they're seeing luminous angels over the country. That's according to a video by an archbishop. Angels are these powerful helpers, or they're protectors, they're messengers from God. And the report said that about 2 weeks into the Ukrainian invasion, where thousands have died, where infrastructure continues to be destroyed, where devastation is plaguing the land, there is a spiritual phenomenon going on. I saw one image of a luminous cross that hung in the sky over Kyiv. As I mentioned, St. Michael's the protector of Kyiv. Our Lady is dedicated to the city of Mariupol is dedicated to Our Lady. Apparently, civilians say they see these luminous angels over the country, and they believe it's St. Michael the Archangel who is the patron of it, the whole heavenly host. And they believe that God will help them to prevail. So I don't know how true it is, but I can't imagine you making that up. And let's call upon the angels to help intercede and to carry perhaps our petitions to the throne of God. Maggie's going to be praying with me today, and if you want to join us, you can do so by calling in at 888-914-9149. You can also, of course, leave us your prayer intentions on our Twitter page, at Drew Mariani Show. That's at Drew Mariani Show, and love to have you, love to have Maggie share some of your intentions on the air. You might be shy about coming on the air, but I think that's a great way to get those intentions up. Before we start the prayer, I just want to encourage you to really put your trust in God. That's really the secret to this devotion, trust. And I had a friend who I spoke to earlier today. I haven't spoken to her in years, and she called me, and she was sharing about how concerned she is about these world events, how things are unfolding right now that are giving her great pause. And she had a little bit of fear. And I told her, I said, trust is the key to this devotion, that God is in control of everything, that he's going to provide and he will protect. The Lord has said over and over again that the graces of his mercy are drawn down by one vessel only, and that's trust, that nothing wounds the heart of Jesus more than our distrust. And I think she's not alone. I think that happens also in our prayer life, right? When it comes to prayer, the finances, the health, whatever it is that you're struggling with, so often it's hard to have that trust when things are going difficult, when things are difficult. But God's mercy is beyond our comprehension. And Faustina says, please don't wound the heart of the Lord. In fact, she says, my mission upon my death will only begin. I'll pull back the veil so you'll no longer wound with your distrust the most merciful heart of Jesus. So I'm going to pray now. I'm going to pray for you. If you have trouble praying, I get it. When you're in a bad way, sometimes it's difficult really to have that faith and that trust. But I just wanted to let you know that God's mercy is beyond comprehension. Greater the misery, he told St. Faustina, the greater the right you have to his mercy. So we'll pray now. Maggie, good to have you with us today. Anything you want to start the chapel off with?
Thanks, Drew. I want to echo Father Rocky's prayers during the family rosary across America when he says that one of his friends that used to be in the military says to pray for rain and warm weather in Ukraine that the fields might become muddy.
That's a great
and
prayer.
The tanks might get stuck in the mud.
You know, it's really, I don't have time to do it because we have to pray, but I should really talk about how certain military battles have been won almost through divine providence, mm-hmm. how nature played such a huge role, whether a mysterious fog rolls in or battle conditions change or winds change. Lepanto is one of those.
Yes.
You know, or,
yes.
Yeah, it's just a classic example. But look, let's pray right now. Lord, I'm going to give you everyone who's united with me. I want to continue to pray for my producer, Tom's daughter, Regina, and the struggle that the family is going through. So, and all who are sick. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, from there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we will take our first call today from Lucy. Lucy, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm calling with an answered prayer. This Tuesday, we got a call that my sister's future mother-in-law had signs of bone cancer. And the next day, they went and got her a scan, and there was no sign of the cancer in my sister and I had prayed like you told us to the divine physician.
Amen.
And my second petition is actually for my sister and her fiance. They've got some difficult decisions coming up as they prepare for marriage. And so my prayer is just that they listen to the Holy Spirit and figure out what would be best for them as a married couple.
Such a good prayer. And Lucy, thank you for calling and sharing that. Do me a favor if you get a time. Just send me a quick email, mark it answered prayer, and then share that prayer with me, okay? So I'd love to keep them in this book of answered prayers that we have here at the network. And we just, they're testimony to God's great mercy. But let's lift up a prayer of thanksgiving. Let's pray against cancer as well. I really want to Lord, I ask for anyone who's battling cancer right now, that you hail and that you vanquish those cancerous cells, that you shrink those tumors, that you give the physicians and surgeons who are dealing with these patients wisdom. I do pray for those entering into relationships, those seeking future spouses, those seeking discernment as to where you're leading them. And I pray for marriages in general, Lord, that you will give special graces today to all marriages. You'll strengthen the bonds of good marriages and that you will heal the wounds of broken marriages. We pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world. world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Antoinette is calling from Rogers, Arkansas. What a pretty name. Hi, Antoinette. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Maggie. Thank you for taking my prayer intention. Drew, I called you back in June about Colin. He had a brain injury, and he's still with us. He's at home, and his parents, his family's taking care of him, and we, you know, they see progress every day with him. So I just want to pray for continued healing for him. And for my friend Connie, who undergoing chemo and recovering from cancer. And I wanted to pray for the repose of the soul for of Todd, who's a brother of a good friend of mine, and Robert Boutre, who is from New Hampshire. He's my brother-in-law's dad, who passed away. And for all the souls in purgatory, all our loved ones that have gone before us. And I want to pray for all the unborn and for everyone. I'm praying for the 40 days vigil sites and just good for the end of that.
Yeah, such good
thank
prayers.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling, Antoinette. And my heart goes out. We'll pray for the repose of the soul of Robert and Todd. But I do want to pray for those with head trauma because, again, it's one of these situations. The doctor tells you you have stage 4 cancer. Or they tell you, look, the head trauma is so bad, you'll never walk or talk again. I'll never be able to finish school. I mean, I tend to believe physicians and their expertise. But I also go to the divine physician. And I know I've shared probably with Antoinette and so many others, my own nephew, who was 16, 17 years old and got into a car accident, had head trauma. And my poor sister, a single mom, was told he'll never walk again. He'll never. You need ramps for the house. He'll never go back to school. And you know, his life, as you know it, is going to be radically different. I remember it was July 4th. I was on my knees. Fireworks were going off that day. My wife, I took the kids and my wife out, and we were watching fireworks. And we stopped right there, and we prayed the chapel of Divine Mercy. And then we did not stop praying. We continued to pray. My sister never stopped praying. She prayed the rosary in the chapel by his bed nonstop. That boy got a degree in engineering from a great university and holds a great job, and doctors call him a miracle. They wanted him to go to Children's Hospital to give other parents hope. So I say that because I personally seen that with my own eyes. I've seen the power of prayer. And God can heal everything from head trauma to cancer. I'm telling you, anything and everything is possible with God. I want you to have that hope when you pray, that trust, and know that God can do this. But also pray for his will. Because God brings good out of every situation, and he might see something much bigger than you do. You know, he might see it much clearer. I'm sure he sees it clearer than you do. We got to trust that God knows what's best. So, Lord, I just give you my heart and all the things that perhaps I struggle with in my prayer and my faith, and I re-echo that for all who pray with me right now. And I pray for those impossible situations. I pray for my producer, Tom, and his daughter, who's battling something very similar. I pray for all these intentions we heard, for all those now united with me. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we take our third call, Maggie, I'm assuming you've been able to monitor Twitter. I know you're praying with us, and I'm going to open your mic and bring you in, too. If you have a need, you can email me, drew@relevantradio.com. Please send me your answer prayers there, okay? Mark it, answered prayer. I'd love when we see the fruit of this prayer. And again, on Twitter, you can go to @DrewMarianiShow. Follow us there and you know, go ahead and put your prayer petitions. Maggie monitors it, and she'll get She'll get you on the air. Maggie, what can we pray for today?
We need to pray for Diane, who's just been relocated into hospice. Emily from Wisconsin wrote to us. She said, "My dad just moved to hospice and needs the grace of conversion. He says he doesn't believe in God and says he'll either go to hell or there's nothing. He uses God's name in vain and isn't open to having a priest visit with him. He was baptized and confirmed after he married my mom, but I don't think he's ever been to confession, and he stopped going to church years ago. Please, everyone beg God to deliver my dad from his sins and to transform his heart, even if it's in his final moments."
Yeah.
So that's what this prayer is for. Elizabeth wrote to us. She said, I beg for prayers. Please pray for my 5-year-old niece, Autumn, who's in the hospital with complications due to chemo. She's suffering so much and we are worried. Thank you." Karen wrote to us. She said, please pray for domestic violence victims, that those who are abusing them may stop causing harm and further pain to victims. Sabina wrote to us, said, "My sister is suffering a lot mentally. Prayers that God may heal her." And Taney wrote to us and said, "For the conversion of my brothers and my nieces."
All right. Well, let's pray for this. Yeah, I'm struck by that first intention you put out. My heart goes out to that daughter. But you know what really convicted my heart? Maybe I'll share it later today or next time I'm on the air. There's a great story with St. Thérèse of Lisieux, who prayed for a very unrepentant man. His name was Pranzini, and he spit on the cross. He wanted nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. Yet she sacrificed and she prayed for this man's conversion. And you know what? The very last moment, even though he was obstinate, rejected priests and everything, her prayers prevailed and conversion took place. And the Lord promised, he says, "Anything you ask in virtue of my passion will be granted if it's according to my will." This is God's will, that this man be united with him. So if we all together pray for his conversion, all those now approaching death, all those who are obstinate in their rejection of God, God's grace will prevail. He told St. Faustina, there are moments, there are mysteries of divine mercy over which the heavens are just astounded. So we can, we shouldn't judge these souls, but rather put them in the hands of the merciful heart of our Lord. And that's what we're going to do right now. We'll lift up those intentions, especially this particular soul who desperately needs God's mercy. And let's include Juan, who's praying in Chicago with us. Juan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm just asking prayers for me and my job search. I do have a job, but it just doesn't meet my financial needs. It's not for a bunch of stuff. It's just things. I need some extra money for house repairs and things like that. And I think that a lot of people are in my position, so I want to lift them up as well. And for the conversion of my brother, after my parents passed, he's just become very selfish. My parents didn't leave a will, and it's, again, not about the material things, but we want to be together as a family and united, and he's just really been abusive and very angry toward us, and I really want to pray for his conversion, and the conversion of my goddaughter who met a guy in college and left home, but now she's, thinking about coming back. So I'm really hoping that she does.
Well, let's pray for those intentions. And you're not alone. I'm sure a lot of people are saying, man, I can't make ends meet. I need a little extra. So let's pray either for that raise or that new job, that new opportunity, or sometimes God even finds ways of surprising us. Ways that you think, wow, that was amazing. And God's a God of providence. I am so convinced of that. I've seen it so much, so many times in my own life. I marvel at how generous he is. I want to pray for you now, Juan, that God will somehow work that out for you. Let's pray for your brother. And when loved ones die so often, I mean, money gets in the way. It's a horrible thing. But Lord, I pray right now for unity amongst families, amongst siblings, amongst parents and children, amongst friends, amongst colleagues. I pray for all these intentions Juan just voiced. And we just immerse them in the ocean of your mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And I want to pray for just a soul that just came to mind. Her name is Barb. She has traveled with me many times on pilgrimage. And Barb, I want to pray for you today. I don't know why you came to my mind, but I'm going to bring you to the Lord. And we'll bring who's up next? Marilla. Marilla's listening to us in California. Hi, Marilla. Good afternoon.
Hi. You said my name right this time.
That's good.
I just found out yesterday that a good friend of mine back in Michigan, where I grew up, died, but she died of heroin. And that really gets me. And I'm mad. I think we, like what you just said, we need peace and unity in families. I mean, we need parents to talk to their children as if they loved them, and that's pretty much it. I mean, I have a whole lot more, but I'll get that another day.
Amen.
And if you see if you know of anyone who's suffering in any way, speak up.
Amen to that. Marilyn, thank you. I tell you, we're going to pray for that intention right now, and I'm grateful. I know the Lord knows your heart. So even though you didn't voice those intentions, God, I know, knows them. We'll pray for you. But I want to pray for that childhood friend of yours. I have somebody very close to me that has battled heroin, and I know how destructive that is. I really do. It's a wretched drug. And now with all these other drugs coming across our border, it's so dangerous for anyone who battles addiction. Lord, I pray for those souls who today battle addiction, for those family members and loved ones who are just so desperate, so broken, so frustrated by the process. And this is one of those areas that seem impossible. It seems bigger than anything, but it's not bigger than you. So I bring you the addicted. I bring you those families that are struggling with this as well. And I beg for your mercy as I pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our final call comes from Sarah, listening in Tinley Park, Illinois. Hi, Sarah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call, my request. Our granddaughter was born on Tuesday, and she has some very serious complications. And she's in a specialized unit right now in Chicago, and they're performing a procedure on her right now, and they're checking for swelling of the brain and any long-term effects and how to treat this. So we're, begging for prayer for this little one.
Well, be at peace, Sarah. Let's pray for her right now. You got through. I'm so happy. And we are going to pray. Our whole spiritual family here is here for you. You're one of the family. So we're going to pray for that beautiful little granddaughter. All right. 3 days old. That is so new. Let's lift it up to the Lord right now. Lord, I give you Sarah. I give you her granddaughter. I give you all those children in the NICUs and the PICUs. And I give you all those who are in critical condition right now. But I give you those impossible situations, those intractable problems that are in our path right now, those obstacles that we just can't seem to rise above. And I just ask for your mercy today. I beg for miracles, for answered prayers, for providence, for new beginnings. And I thank you for your mercy. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair or become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Saint Michael,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. This Lent, can you do me one favor? Just tell one other person about this prayer and be sure and join me every day. This is a powerful time of prayer. I know God is hearing our prayers. I'll be right back.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Mr. Hardwick, how many times have I heard you speak of freedom at my father's table? Half the men in this church, including you, Father, and you, Reverend, are as ardent patriots as I. Will you now, when you are needed most, stop at only words? Is that the sort of men you are?
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That's a clip from a great movie. You want to watch something this weekend? Check out The Patriot, directed, I believe, by Mel Gibson. But, you know, again, it just shows you the beauty of this story called America. When you look back at our nation's founding, what we stood for, how we rose above all odds, you know, how we created what they call the Great Experiment, right? A union of states that believes in liberty and freedom, not only champions it here in this country, but defends it around the world. And that's what the Ukrainian people are doing today. So pray for them. They're striving mightily against a much larger, a better equipped, a better trained Russian military. I think about this. I mean, there are people who never donned a uniform, never picked up a weapon, that are now going against, you know, one of the great militaries of the 21st century. And guess what? The Russians are running into resistance. They are facing a people that they did not expect. Very much like Britain, you know, when we went to war, you know, that Revolutionary War, we were outgunned, the British Navy, everything. There's no way a bunch of ragtag soldiers should have ever beaten such a mighty empire. But I believe God had a mission for this country, and I still do. As I was sharing a little bit before the chaplet, and I don't know how accurate these reports are, I'm just passing along what I've seen. There are reports of luminous crosses in the sky. I've seen one image of it. there are reports of angels, luminous angels in the sky. What that is, I'm not quite sure. But again, St. Michael's the patron of Kyiv, Our Lady, the city of Mariupol has been dedicated to her. Let's pray for these people. Let's pray for the courage, the fortitude that they need. The Russians, as I said, they're running into resistance. It's taking longer to get the job done than they thought. They thought, 48 hours, the people will come down. I think some people thought they'd come in as liberators. I think Vladimir Putin has bit off more than he can chew. I mean, this is unexpected. So he is doubling down right now. And the capital, just to put this in perspective, Kyiv is still in Ukrainian hands. And the Russians, you know, they thought it would be theirs in, what, 2-3 days? So Vladimir Putin didn't count on that type of resistance from a small army, let alone the people. But one report said that Ukraine started rebuilding its military back in 2016. They made pretty good progress. But the other thing Putin may not have accounted for is just the number of civilians who are willing to fight. I heard a couple of these old women who wear babushkas. They don't want to leave the country. They're like, you know, give me a couple of Molotov cocktails. I'll throw them from my window at the soldiers. I mean, these people are willing to defend their freedom and their country. And it raises some questions for me. What would you do here? What would you do if we faced a similar problem? The president of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, he ordered all the men, 18 to 16, to stay and fight rather than flee to the neighboring countries, as a lot of others have. But he also ordered small arms and ammunition to be handed out to as many people that could handle them. And you know what? That changed the entire dynamic of this conflict. There was I think Quinnipiac University, they explored this. They wondered what would happen if the U.S., if we were invaded by another country. I saw this the other day. I looked at some interesting stats. And we're going to talk to Monsignor Swetland about this in a second here. But think about this, and feel free to join the conversation too. Quinnipiac, they asked, I think it was 1,400 random people, what would you do? Now, check these numbers out. A majority, 55%, said that they would stay and fight. I was shocked by that number. I thought that was low. This is the United States of America, right? 55% said, yeah, I would stay and fight. 38% said that they would leave the country. And breaking it down by political party, 68% of Republicans said they would stay. 57% of independents said they'd stay. 40% of Democrats said they would. So you can see how that number breaks down across political lines as well. But the political breakdown isn't important right now. What's important is what Catholic moral teaching says about civilians taking up arms against an invader and how that changes the moral calculus when it comes to, well, it comes to just war theory. And I thought, look, let's invite Monsignor Stuart Swetland back. He's been with us several times as this war continues to rage, to help guide us through the moral principles that undergird it. He's president of Donnelly College in Kansas City, Kansas. Check it out. It's a great, great college. And he's also the executive secretary for the Fellowship of Catholic Scholars and an expert on just war theory. Monsignor, welcome back.
It's good to be with you, Drew. Thank you.
Yeah, you served our nation for many years, and we're grateful for that as well. And what an amazing story our founding has. I see the bravery, the heroism of these Ukrainians as well, who believe in freedom. They want democracy. They don't want the authoritarian rule of Vladimir Putin. They've taken up arms against an unjust aggressor. These citizens are completely justified morally, aren't they, to go ahead and to do battle?
Most certainly they are. They have the right to self-defense and the right to other defense. Matter of fact, in the Catechism, when it talks about safeguarding peace, it reminds those who have the care of the common good of a nation, the political authorities. It says, for example, in paragraph 2310, public authorities have the right and duty to impose on citizens the obligations necessary for national defense. So it's both a right and a duty for the call to arms to defend a nation against unjust aggression.
We normally think of soldiers as combatants, right? But if the invader, let's just say, comes into a town and all the citizens are armed and they're pointing their arms at the invader, how does that change things in terms of that moral calculus? Let me let you answer that and I'll follow up.
Right. Well, first off, I'm just working on a piece that will be published sometime soon by the National Catholic Register, following up my previous editorial about non-combatant immunity, because that's an absolute in just war theory. It's an absolute in the Geneva Conventions. It's an absolute in the UN Charter. The recognition that non-combatants should never be directly targeted. In Catholic theology, this is, of course, an infallible teaching of our church, that innocent human life should never be directly attacked. You can neither threaten nor directly intend to kill innocent human life. This is an infallible teaching of the Catholic Church. So these are important truths that we base a lot of morality on. So the current targeting of innocent civilians that we see going on in Ukraine is these are war crimes. And they must be condemned loudly and clearly by the entire world, as we hold up an absolute morality that the innocent should never be directly attacked. And innocent in this term, in this understanding, is those not harming, those involved not who are not harming, who are not actively involved in combat. Now, combat soldiers and partisans, civilians who take up arms become partisans. They become liable to attack because they are part of an ongoing armed conflict. Now, the Russians are in the wrong here because they are committing the crime of aggression. And they have unjustly invaded another country. The only moral thing the Russian can do is cease fire, turn around, and return to their own borders. Any ongoing aggression on the Russian side is is furthering the crime of aggression.
Yeah, I had Congressman Chris Smith on a little bit earlier. He wants to hold Vladimir Putin accountable for his particular war crimes, and we have seen some real atrocities there, as I was sharing a little bit earlier. Russia's been accused of hitting a home for the disabled. It had 330 residents, Monsignor. Of course, the big news the other day was that hospital that he hit, the maternity ward that he hit. He's been accused of hitting 17 hospitals across the country, and they're supposedly using vacuum bombs and cluster bombs and just randomly shelling people and the innocents as well. In terms of these types of actions, we're hearing from the Russians, wait a minute, that a maternity ward wasn't a maternity ward. They were using that as a place where combatants were. I mean, how do we parse through that? That could simply be a lie, but what if there were combatants there? I mean, then Russia was justified in bombing that, or because they're in the wrong from the get-go, right. Anything they do here is immoral.
Right, right. It is, but even in war, we make distinctions so that individual soldiers, who, of course, are under the structure of sin involved, if they are on the wrong side of these kinds of conflicts, they still need to follow the laws of armed conflict. And obviously, hospitals, just like doctors and nurses on the battlefield, cannot be targeted. Neither can a hospital be targeted. Now, if I put an anti-aircraft gun on top of a hospital, I've turned a hospital into a military installation. Mm-hmm. And that's, my fault or my country's fault, because we've turned what is a place for the sanctity of life into a military center. And then it is liable to attack. So if that was true, it would be liable to attack. Yeah. Just as an aside, Drew, I had to say about doctors and nurses being chaplains, not being combatants. One of the reasons that the French sisters have those ridiculously big hats you may have seen from like the Flying Nun and things like that actually goes back to the Napoleonic War. The sisters wanted to minister to the fallen on both sides during the Napoleonic Wars, and they went to the Emperor Napoleon, who said he would only allow them on the battlefield if there was some distinctive way that a sniper from a distance could tell they were not a combatant, so that they wouldn't be shot at. And that's where those hats came from, as a way to make it clear that they were religious sisters and medics on the battlefield, not combatants.
What a great bit of military history. I did not know that. I love that. My guest today, Monsignor Stuart Sweatland. I'll tell you, I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, we'll take a few of your calls. If you want to get in, maybe you've got a question, a comment, you want to share your own analysis, the number 888-914-9149. You can call now. That's 888-914-9149. Our conversation continues right after this.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
All the issues, one place.
One place.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. It's good to be here. If you're on hold, I'll do my best to get you on the air. The number to get into the conversation anytime is 888-914-9149. Talking today to a man who has served our country for years, now the president of Donnelly College, one of my colleagues here at Relevant Radio for a very long time, and expert on just war theory and morality. Great to have with me Monsignor Stuart Swetland. And Monsignor, before I go to the phones, and we got a couple calls here I want to grab quickly, but I just want to follow up. I want your take on this Quinnipiac poll, if you could, if I can get that word out. They broke down this, you know, they wondered what would happen here in the U.S. if we were invaded. You know, what would be the response? I would have thought 98% of Americans would be willing to take up arms and protect this country. They found that a majority would, 55% would stay and fight, 38% say they would leave the country. Give me your take. Is this being misinterpreted? How's it being presented? Let me know how you read it.
Yep. Drew, I'm so glad. I love this show because you want to get to the truth of the matter. Because the way the question was asked in this poll, it says, if you were in the same position as Ukrainians are now, do you think that you would stay and fight or leave the country?
Yep.
So it was about people projecting themselves to be in the situation where the Ukrainians are, not their own country being attacked. And I think that comes to people's doing some prudential judgment about the probability of success and all of that. Yeah. And so I don't think it's really correct to say they're talking about what would you do if the United States would be invaded. Matter of fact, a few questions later, they were asked about if NATO was attacked, if a NATO country was attacked, what would they do? And, you know, that's not our country. That's an ally over in Europe. And 88% of Democrats, 82% of Republicans would support following through on our NATO obligations to defend a NATO country. An attack on one is an attack on all. So the fact is it's basically 90% of the U.S. population, 80 to 90% would support.
That's more like it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that because I know the internet is running with this and you're seeing a lot of back and forth. And this is, you know, this is what makes Relevant Radio different. We get to the truth of the matter and try to make it as clear as possible.
Yeah. And to that point, I mean, you're saying 80 some to 90% if NATO, and of course, you know, we're a member of NATO there, and we'll certainly defend our allies. I think the number would be even higher if they said, if someone was to invade this country, you know, what would you do? I'm glad you brought clarity to that whole Ukrainian issue, because after you see what's happening, how you're outgunned, you know, you take a look at the weapons, vacuum bombs, possible even use of a low yield nuclear weapons or, you know, chemicals or whatever might happen. There may be some people say, hey, I want to get my wife and my kids out of here. You know, so it does change the calculus. Let's take a few calls because we only have a few minutes. Linda in California. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for your show. Can you hear me okay?
We can. Go right ahead, Linda. Thanks.
Okay. Well, I understand about the deep state, which NATO, the CDC, the WHO, all of that is involved. And it's been going on since the hierarchy of Britain and all that. So Trump, Putin, and I can't pronounce the Chinese president's name.
Xi Jinping? Xi Jinping. Go ahead. Yeah.
They're trying to, the only thing Russia is bombing are the laboratories of bioweapons. And it's the Nazis in Ukraine that are killing their own people.
All right. I'm going to just put you on hold for a second. Monsignor, do you want to address that at all?
It's just, this is one of the conspiracy theories running around. It's false. It's not true. And it's very disconcerting that people are falling for this propaganda.
Yeah, no doubt. And there's been a lot of that out there. And I had a conversation the other day with somebody. How do you discern propaganda from truth? Because during war, quite often, both sides put it forward. But that is something that has been put out. Frank in Capitol Heights, Maryland. Thanks for waiting. Good afternoon.
Oh, hello, Drew, and hello, Father. It's wonderful to be able to talk to you, and I had called one time before, and I love your show and love Father Rocky's show, and it's a very wonderful show, and you're doing very, very good, everyone on Relevant Radio. I was wondering, Father and Drew, do you think that maybe the Pope, Pope Francis, could call up Vladimir Putin and tell him to stop, you know, fighting and say, don't worry, just forget about all this stuff, don't fight, and then maybe he would listen to the Pope, and because I feel so sorry. And when all these top officials get together and they have their meeting, they should emphasize everything on peace, peace, always peace, because nothing has ever come out of fighting, arguing, and war. And
all right, Frank, thanks. I've got a little bit of time left. I want to make sure Monsignor can get in. Go right ahead, Monsignor.
And Pope Francis is calling for ceasefire, is calling. He sent two cardinals to the war region to see what we can do about refugees and bringing food stuff and medical supplies to the wounded. So a lot is going on, and he has. The unfortunate thing here is the Russian Orthodox Church, which Putin is more likely to listen to, so far has been supporting this unjust aggression, which is shows why a national church is problematic.
Frank, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. Sorry we don't have a whole lot of time. But Dee Dee in Phoenix, Arizona, I think has a great question for you, Monsignor. Good afternoon, Dee Dee.
Good afternoon. Monsignor, what is the Catholic position on women fighting for their country?
Yeah, it's interesting. Women, we don't have a position. Of course, in the Old Testament, sometimes God did choose women in a military position, or at least involved in military victories for the chosen people. The Catholic Church hasn't ruled on this in any definitive way. Now, there are plenty of theologians, and I always tell people, don't trust us theologians, trust the Church and her teaching. Right. But we theologians are by vocation called to reflect upon the truths. There are theologians who talk about the special and privileged role of women as mothers, either physically mothers as they have children or as spiritual mothers, that's incompatible with a role of military defense and the use of deadly force. So some theologians speculate that it isn't appropriate. But there is no definitive Catholic teaching on this.
I think of one very famous woman who served in a military, and it was Joan of Arc.
Joan of Arc.
A saint, right? She's a saint. You got it, Dee Dee. That's a great question. Thank you very much for your call.
Some of my classmates, I was in the second class at the Naval Academy to have women in it. Some of the my classmates went on to serve our country so well as leaders, admirals, astronauts, Marines. So there was.
I was totally, you know, against my daughter going into the Marines. She's a Marine, right? My wife and I were very concerned about her safety. That was the principal reason. But I could not be more proud of her service to our country and all that she's been able to take from that experience. So, Monsignor, I have less than a minute to go. Let me allow you to leave everyone with final thoughts as we continue to watch these events unfold.
Well, we are all called upon to be in solidarity with those who suffer, especially during Lent, but all times. And so I think in this Friday of Lent, to offer our prayers and our suffering and our fasting for an end to this hostility and for the people of Ukraine.
Always good to have you here, Monsignor. I hope you have a wonderful week, and thanks for making time for us. I'm sure we'll be talking again soon. A lot is, as I said, still unfolding. So keep us in your prayers as well. We'll do the same for you, okay?
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. It's Monsignor Stuart Swetland. You can check him out also at Donnelly College. You'll be amazed at the rates, and you'll be amazed at the great education you get there. My thanks for his time, as always. Stay with me when we come back. Our conversation continues. If you're having trouble sleeping, you may want to stay tuned.